This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. This week, a report from State Attorney General Brad Schimmel revealed that he's recommending contempt proceedings for a prosecutor and eight other officials over the leak of John Doe investigation documents. He's not, though, seeking criminal charges. Robert Menser is a statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He is based in Wausau. He joins us every Friday to look back at the week's biggest news. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, Rob. Thank you.
All right, so this is a complicated story. There was the whole John Doe probe. There was a leak to the Guardian newspaper and then an investigation into that leak. What was your biggest takeaway looking at the report from the Attorney General this week?
Well, there are a number of pieces of news here and things that had not previously been reported, so there are a lot of them. I agree with you. Really, the headline is that there were no charges here. It was certainly possible to imagine that the Attorney General would have wanted to charge the leaker in this case. The reason that there were no charges, according to the report, is that the way that the evidence in this case was handled meant that there were multiple people who were in a position to have been able to leak these documents. And so that is where a lot of the strong language came from, that was a mishandling of these documents. But it's also why we didn't see charges.
Right. And I think the Attorney General's office was clear. They think something illegal did happen, something chargeable did happen. But as you were saying, Rob, it's hard to say who did this thing.
Right. I mean, the documents were sealed. It was presumably an illegal act to share them with a journalist. People leak things all the time, and it is a they have their own motivations, and there might be good to the public to know some information that gets leaked from various documents. It's also the case that there were people who were under gag orders in this same investigation whose homes had been raided by investigators, who were also legally forbidden from speaking about it, who shared with the Wall Street Journal and others who were sympathetic to them to sort of plead their case. But yeah, I mean, sharing those documents, those documents were legally not supposed to be released to the public.
And another thing that people are pointing out here, this goes back to the John Doe 2 probe, accusations, concerns that Governor Walker's campaign had coordinated with outside groups. This was ultimately stopped by the Wisconsin Supreme Court back in, I think, 2015. But what people are saying is released here is the Government Accountability Board, which existed at the time, which did this investigation, vacuumed up a lot of information, had a lot of information in its servers and files, some of it personal information, and they didn't do a great job, people are saying, of protecting that information from being released.
I mean, it seems, yeah, I would say that the record on what happened to those existing documents would support that view. Now, yeah, this is, in fact, one of the big pieces of news out of this report is that there was a previously unknown third John Doe investigation into a bunch of Republican officials who were apparently coordinating campaign activities with the Wisconsin Club for Growth, this right-wing group. And at the time, before the Supreme Court weighed in, Wisconsin's campaign laws forbidden that sort of campaign coordination. A lot of those rules are no longer in effect, but that was one of the things that was being investigated that we had not known, and that, yes, led to a bunch of personal emails and other sort of non-material emails being collected by the investigators. This is like this is a big part of the Republicans' case that against the John Doe system, and the reason why the rules around it were changed is that this is the sort of investigation that kind of can continue to grow. So if you're a Republican, you're convinced that this was a sort of a partisan tool all from the start, and prosecutors were just going to keep investigating until they found something that they could use for a partisan end. And I don't know whether it's true or not, but you can hear as soon as I say it that it's the exact same complaints that Democrats had about special prosecutors investigating President Bill Clinton in the 1990s, or that Republicans have against Robert Mueller Mueller's investigation into President Donald Trump today.
We'll be watching the fallout of that story. I want to start to pick up another thread here. Here in Wisconsin, we're watching federal efforts at a tax overhaul. There's an analysis out of the how the U.S. Senate's tax bill would affect us here in Wisconsin. What are some of the takeaways there, Rob?
Sure. Well, I mean, the tax bill isn't law yet. It's going to go to a conference committee, and so who knows what will happen. But here we are with an analysis of this Senate bill. And the bill has this odd structure that is a way of getting around deficit rules, and that is that it has a bunch of corporate tax cuts that are permanent, but it makes individual tax cuts temporary. And so you see in this analysis, if passed, a family in Wisconsin making about $70,000 per year or less would get an average tax cut of $440. But then those tax cuts all expire. And so by 2025, those same households would end up with a tax hike, an increase of an average of $190.
So that's all subject to change. We'll pick that up with Rob Mentzer from the USA Today Network Wisconsin in just a few. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What were your reactions to this release of information about the John Doe investigation documents? Should there have been criminal charges? Should there be contempt charges? Coming up, we're going to talk about the growing pool of Democratic candidates for governor in 2018. Who are you supporting right now? What do you think of this huge field of candidates? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at the biggest Wisconsin news from the past week. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the race for governor in Wisconsin, the leak in the John Doe probe. The documents came out this week. Call 800-642-1234. Going to go right to a caller. Nate is on the line in Milwaukee. Hey, Nate.
Hi, thank you for having me. My take on this when I first heard about it is that Republicans are trying to distract from that the governor's campaign had basically broken standing election laws during the time of the election that they were investigating. And to distract from that, they're trying to come down on the investigators and ignore that not only did he break the standing law at the time, but the Attorney General and conservative members of the state Supreme Court tried to help cover it up by basically smashing the law that he had been caught breaking. And Scott Walker himself was actually fond of election laws relating to finances and stuff like that. If you check the Koch call where he was called by a prankster pretending to be David Koch, and he admitted to trying to look for ways to catch state Democrats in.
Nate, I want to jump in. You got a lot there, and I want to bring Rob in on this now. And that's the counter argument, Rob, to what we're hearing this week from Republicans on this investigation, the report out this week, that they say, hey, the governor, or it looked like, they say, the governor's campaign and these outside groups were colluding, which was retroactively declared not illegal.
Yeah, I mean, they were coordinating. Like, that was definitely happening. So, the Republican case here is that the Wisconsin's laws on campaign finances were too overly broad, so much so as to be unconstitutional, and that especially in the post Citizens United era, they were not consistent with free speech rights as campaign finance law has evolved. Now, you know, sometimes courts find that the Supreme Court has the legal right to make that determination. But like, yeah, I mean, there's a political angle here, and it's certainly the caller is not wrong to point out that it was the court's conservative majority who made this finding that so happened to be very beneficial to the state's conservative governor.
Nate, thanks for the call. Rick from Wausau now brings us into the governor's race. Rick, hi.
Hello there. I wanted to comment on especially the Democratic race for governor. It's my personal belief that whoever wins that race will be the next governor. But I also think that it's time for ordinary citizens to become elected officials. I think what we heard back in 2016, whether you voted for Trump or against Hillary or vice versa, is that we're tired of having these polished politicians almost being drafted to be groomed to run government and answer to corporate donors.
I got your point, Rick, and we're close to out of time. And, Rob, there's a growing field now. Kelda Helen Royce, a former legislator, one of now a dozen officially declared Democratic candidates. And if the Democrats are anointing someone so far, they haven't done it yet, right?
Yeah, I mean, no, Rick makes an interesting point, and the real contrast here is to 2014 when the Democratic challenger to Governor Walker was Mary Burke, who there really was not another serious Democratic challenger for the nomination. There was a primary, but the other candidate was a former state legislator who ended up getting less than 16% of the vote or something like that. And that really was a case where Burke was the sort of chosen by the party regulars, and you know, that was, she had a tough campaign. It was a tough year to run against Walker, but it didn't succeed at any rate. And so I think that could be part of what is going on here, besides just this sort of activist energy being on the Democratic side right now, is that the party is going to let these dozen candidates sort of slug it out, and there can be a benefit to parties to having a contested primary. Wisconsin's primary is late; it's in August, and so that probably makes some political types a little nervous. But yeah, I mean, sometimes these debates can end up energizing people and getting people excited.
We'll leave it there for now. Rob, thanks as always for joining us.
All right, thank you.
That's Robert Metzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. He joins us every Friday to look back at the week's biggest Wisconsin news.